Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
My fellow demons, welcome to this festival of sporting excellence, the Infernal Games. Held in honor of our most imperial majesty, all hail to the infinitely, awesomely, magnificent Satan!
All hail, mighty Satan!
Yeah, cheers, Tom.
Let the games commence!
What form do these games take, exactly?
Oh, you'll see. You're very lucky, Prof, you know. No mortal has ever been so favoured as to sit in the imperial box with me. Yeah. And I bet you've never had a grandstand view like this, eh?
Well, I had a pretty good seat at Wembley once. England v Scotland.
Oh, good game?
No, I don't know. I went to the toilet before the game, and by the time I'd finished queuing, the match was over.
It's a disgrace, Wembley, isn't it? And they call it a national stadium, I don't know. That place hasn't seen a lick of paint since I was there in 66.
66? What? You were there for the World Cup?
Yeah. I mean, I was in disguise, obviously. I was a Russian linesman.
What, the one who gave the goal?
Well, I was trying to start another world war, but the Germans let me down by accepting defeat gracefully. I'm man for that. But, oh, hello, here we go.
And now, our first event, the long jump.
The long jump? Is this just like in the Olympics, then?
Yep, exactly like in the Olympics. Apart from the sandpit having crocodiles in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the record jump is 97 metres. Amazing what that extra bit of adrenaline can do.
And the first contestant in the long jump from the United States of America, J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover? Why J. Edgar Hoover? He's no athlete. What chance does he stand?
Well, I don't know. He's very single-minded, Prof, yeah. I mean, that dress might slow him up a bit, but... Oh, here he goes now. You see? I told you, he's surprisingly quick, isn't he? Yeah. Now, if he just times the jump... Oh, hard luck, J. Edgar.
Oh, I can't watch this. It's like being in ancient Rome.
Ah, the Romans. Now, they did know how to enjoy themselves, yeah. And so organised. You never had to queue for the toilets at the Colosseum. No, never missed a single disemboweling.
And the next contestant in the long jump, representing France, the Maid of Orleans, Joan of Arc.
Yeah. Make her take her armour off, Scumspawn. It's not fair on the crocodiles.
Not fair on Arthur. This isn't sport. I mean, can you honestly say you enjoy watching this?
Well, I don't know. No, you're right. I used to love watching it, yeah? Especially the field events, you know, putting the shot, throwing the discus, catching the javelin. But now I get no real buzz from it. It's like everything else. I'm just going through the motions. Scumspawn!
Yes, your supreme putrescence.
Send everyone away. The games are cancelled.
We're about to show you a saint being torn limb from limb.
Yeah, well, you can have too much of a good thing.
Then in what way can we please you? I know. Music. We can lay some fashion supermodels on the ground, give you a stick, and then you can play them like a xylophone.
Now, I want to do something unusual.
I know. You can take your fieriest poker and you stage one of your Who's Got the Reddest Arse competitions. Got it. Fantasy boxing. Now, we could have... The one and only Rocky Marciano versus Noel Coward. Surprisingly entertaining last time.
Look, I don't want to watch Noel trying to counter left hooks with a witty rejoinder, and I don't want to redden any rumps, and I don't want to see Joan of Arc being ripped to shreds, even if she is French. And anyway, Scumspawn, since when did you appoint yourself as my entertainment officer?
Well, I was only trying to help...
Suck up to me. I know, because you're still after that job as my assistant.
Well, I did notice you haven't filled the vacancy yet.
That's because I haven't found the right candidate yet. But it won't be you, Scumspawn. In fact, I'd sooner give the job to a mentally retarded blue bottle.
I see. Right. Well, I shall disperse the games as you command.
Oh, why are you so hard on him?
Well, he gets on my nerves. He's so eager to please. He's got the body of a demon and the mind of a Labrador.
Well, if you gave him a... If you gave him a chance to develop...
Oh, he'll never change. No one changes here. Everyone's totally predictable.
I disagree.
See, I knew you'd say that. You're a bloody serial optimist, you are.
Well, I've witnessed some change here.
Where?
In Thomas. He's beginning to change. He's showing definite signs of humanity.
Definite signs of humanity, or what you mean, like greed, lust, hatred, those sort of signs?
Yes, well, anyone could be cynical. That's the lazy option.
Oh, slap my claws. Well, when can you give me a demonstration of this wonderful change, then?
Not quite yet. Well, there's still a bit of work to do, that's all. He's as conditioned as you are. But you'll see, and don't forget our bet. If I can prove Thomas has changed, then my wife gets to stay with me when she... Well, if she ends up here. And that'll be another new development for you, won't it, eh? Scary stuff, this change, isn't it,
No one's ever won a wager against me, Professor. The devil always collects.
You don't intimidate me.
No, I know, that doesn't change either. Scumspawn, that sandpit's not been raked properly. I can still see some bits of J. Edgar.
Can't we stop now? I'm tired.
Well, just a little more coaching. I'm just trying to sharpen up your ability to be, sympathetic.
Sympathetic?
Well, you said you wanted to change.
Yeah, but sympathetic? I mean, can't I start with something a bit easier?
Well, you'll soon get the hang of it. Of course, it would be easier to be sympathetic if you could sympathise with others. Presumably, you must have experienced feelings of sympathy at some time in your life.
I did feel a twinge of regret when Emperor Bokassa died.
Right. Well, that's a start, I suppose. Now then, just imagine you're walking through the West End, and you come across this sad, wretched, down and out on the pavement. And I'll be the poor chap who, you know, just sitting down, looking completely lost. Mm. There's an imaginary hat for passers-by to put the change in, and pretend I'm sort of wrapped in newspaper or something. Right. Yeah, how's that?
But it's pretty realistic, apart from the dog.
Well, I haven't got a dog.
Exactly. They've all got a dog. Correction, they've all got the same dog. They obviously share it around. It's a mustard-coloured skinny thing.
All right, so I imagine I've got a dog.
It was this individual. He had a dog. He used to doss down opposite my company's office, in the doorway of the sushi bar. Every morning he was there, hand out, cardboard sign round his neck, scruffy, unwashed. Well, apart from that time I bribed the fire brigade to turn the hoses on him. Good grief, the fuss he made. I mean, it was quite mild for December. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Now, remember, this is your fresh start, Thomas. So, I'm the vagrant, hat on ground, cardboard sign, dog. And I'm a human being who's hit rock bottom and who needs help. So, over to you.
Okay. Here goes.
Right. Okay, well, you didn't just walk straight by, which is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
You did stop for a bit, if only to steal the hat.
Sorry, force of habit.
I mean, you're not telling me that when presented with the same situation, you used to steal vagrants' hats.
Well, it wasn't the same situation, because their hats used to have real money in them. Anyway, I probably ended up out of pocket when you think of all the money the doorway brigade had off me in benefits. I was a taxpayer, don't forget. Don't look at me like that. I paid taxes. Some taxes. As many as applied to me. Look, that business with the inland revenue was a misunderstanding, that's all. We just forgot to carry a few noughts. Oh, loosen up, man. Everyone does it.
I paid my taxes.
Well, then you should have got an accountant.
I had an accountant.
No, I mean a proper accountant. One who knows his way around the Seychelles.
Oh, dear.
What?
Well, we are from very different worlds, aren't we? I'm not sure if I can help you change.
What? You have to. Someone has to. I can't go on like this. I want to be calm. Never have I ever been able to take a deep breath and think, ah, there, everything's all right.
Ah, isn't that touching?
Oh, I didn't see you lurking there.
Oh, well, that's the key to lurking, they're not being seen, bit. Why are you quaking like that, Thomas?
Because you're going to change me into something horrible, aren't you? You always do something painful and very, very humiliating, like a hemorrhoid or something.
Oh, don't exaggerate. When have I ever turned you into a hemorrhoid? I've given you hemorrhoids. Well, they weren't strictly hemorrhoids. They were actually pineapples. But they were in the place where hemorrhoids would have been, weren't they?
Was there something you wanted?
No, I was just wondering how your moral delousing of Thomas was progressing.
Well, if you must know, he's making definite progress.
Yes, I saw. He couldn't even resist the temptation offered by an imaginary hat.
Is there anything else we can do for you?
No. Oh, there was one thing. I've selected a new assistant. I took on board your little lecture on the positive aspects of change, and I've gone for something a bit different. I've chosen a mortal.
A mortal?
Yes, you see, I've been looking for someone who's a good administrator, yet totally ruthless and horribly perverted. Then it came to me. An ancient Roman. A Roman could be my oppo, help me run this place, and maybe even put in a few roads, you know. So, allow me to introduce Satan's little helper. Oi! Nero! Over here!
Nero?
Yep, he murdered his stepfather and his mother, he trampled one of his wives to death, he burnt down Rome for the insurance, and he fed thousands of innocent people to lions. Now, if that's not an impressive CV, I don't know what is. Nero, I'd like to introduce the professor, a man of science, and this is Thomas, a piece of excrement.
You may kiss the imperial hand.
I most certainly will not.
I see. Insurrection. For that slave, I shall crucify you.
No, Nero, listen, I don't allow the prof to be subjected to that kind of thing. Okay, he's exempt.
Oh.
I know, it's disappointing. Well, you can crucify Thomas if you like.
What?
But this wretch did kneel before me. Why should I crucify him?
For being a yes man? I mean, to be honest, you don't really need a reason to crucify Thomas. It's just therapy.
Oh, this is outrageous. Yeah, I mean, you can't
Master! We have a problem in the reception pit, and we need the benefit of your experience and wisdom.
What kind of problem?
Oh, well, you see, there was this gas explosion at the Grand Old Opry, which meant we took unexpected delivery of a country and western band.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, we set about giving them their introductory scourging, etc., but that's when we hit trouble.
Go on.
Well, you see, every time we subject them to more suffering and pain, they just write a song about it.
Oh,
you see?
Flames are getting higher.
Oh, it's horrendous.
It is, you are.
This inferno.
Inferno.
They're stuck for Ryan, huh? That's some respite. Yeah. I don't know how long it's...
Well,
assistant. But he's a mere mortal.
I am a god, actually.
No, you're not a god, actually, Nero.
I am a god. The Senate declared me a god.
Yes, well, you don't become a god just because a bunch of fat Italians wearing sheets give you a certificate. there's a bit more to it than that. But let's not get bogged down on godhood, okay? You tootle off and sort out those country and western dudes for me, okay? Any idea how you're going to deal with the problem?
Simple. I shall forcibly remove their vocal cords.
See, you can't teach that. Logic combined with sadism. He's a natural.
Well, I'm not sure the other demons will be particularly keen on obeying a mortal, my liege, but...
R-D-I-V-O-R-C-A.
Oh, no.
Final today.
Me and little Joey.
Oh, it's a bloody sing-along now, look.
I love you both, and this will be sheer H-E-double-L for me.
H-E-double-L for all of us, girls.
I wish we could these D-I-V-H-O-S.
Oh, sounds like Nero got to us. Good lad. Now, why couldn't you have just done that, eh, Scumspawn?
I didn't think of it.
No, because you're a sissy. The finest example of wimpy sissyhood ever to come out of Big Girl's Blouse Land.
I'm sorry, my prince. I shall remove my disgustingly inadequate and pathetic being from your divine presence.
Fair enough. You don't think he took that personally, do you, Frog? What are you looking at?
It's Thomas.
Well, what about Thomas?
Look at his cheek. There's a tear. You're crying, Thomas.
Well, it was just that, that song. It got to me, that's all.
Well, did your parents divorce then?
No, I wanted them to.
You mean they were unhappy together?
No, they were very happy together. That really annoyed me. I just wanted them to split up so they could be as miserable as me.
Well, so then why did this song move you?
I don't know.
But you felt something. See, the spark of humanity.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
He's getting in touch with his softer side.
Well, why? Because of one tear? One tear proves nothing.
He was reached by the emotion in that song.
That's a country and western song. It's not about an emotion. It's about a kid who can't spell. It's a parody of an emotion.
Well, I'm sorry. I still say Thomas's tear signifies something.
Okay, that does it. You are both coming with me right now.
Where?
You'll see.
Oh, good grief. We're at the bottom of the ocean.
Help! Help! I'm going to drown!
You can't drown, Thomas. You're already dead.
But the water, it'll fill my lungs and we'll drown.
The water doesn't know you're here. You're from a different dimension.
Well, where exactly are we?
The Irish Sea, just off the coast of Wales.
Well, we must be at the most enormous depth.
Not particularly.
But look at all the fish. They're all twisted and contorted and out of proportion. It must be the pressure. What other explanation is there?
Well, Thomas, any theories on why the fish are misshapen and deformed?
How should I know?
Do you think by any chance it could have something to do with those big metal drums lying on the ocean floor? They've all got the word crimp chem on them. Crimp chem. Now, why does that ring a bell?
I don't know.
I don't know, says Thomas Crimp.
All right, so it was my chemical company, but I sold it in 89.
These were dumped in 87, secretly, on your instructions.
Look, neither of you have a business background, so let me explain the commercial realities to you. Truth is, cost of disposing these chemicals legally was extremely prohibitive, and to be perfectly frank with you, would have cost jobs. Okay, so a few fish lost their looks, but at least no people got hurt.
Apart from the ones who've been eating the fish. All along this coastline, hospitals are filling up with patients with curious symptoms and new diseases. Health professionals are telling people not to panic. Government ministers are making their children eat haddock on TV.
How could I have known all that would happen? The sea's a big place. I thought it would dilute all this stuff, didn't I? That was the expert opinion. I said, surely the sea will dilute all this stuff. And the experts on my payroll said, if you say so, Mr. Crimp.
Tell me, Thomas, have you seen the film It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I was put off by the title.
Oh, it's brilliant. This angel shows Jimmy Stewart all the positive things that wouldn't have happened if he'd never been born.
Yeah, well, now this ex-angel is going to show Thomas here all the crap things that did happen because he was born.
This is the world, isn't it? I'm back on Earth! I can feel the breeze on my face and the rain on my cheeks.
Where exactly are we?
On a hill in southern Indonesia.
Oh, I can see a little village way down there, see? Smoke coming out of the chimneys. Look, people living. People laughing and smiling. I can smell the wood smoke. I can hear a low rumbling sound. What is that low, rumbling, crescendoing sound? Oh, my God! It's a mudslide! Whoa! Whee! Oh, my God!
Oh, I love these things. They're nature's answer to Alton Towers.
What's causing this?
Any ideas, Thomas?
Ah, come on, this is caused by torrential rain. I'm not taking the rap for El Nino.
Yeah, but there used to be trees at the top of this hill, didn't there, eh? Binding the soil. And whose timber company chopped them all down, you think?
Can we get off this thing?
Ah, come on, Prof, as a man of learning, surely you want to observe what happens when a mudslide hits a village at 20 miles an hour?
No, I don't want to see that, thank you.
Me neither!
Ah, all right then. Spoil sports. Here we are. This is the next stop, Thomas.
Well, where have you brought us now?
Well, this office, this is a branch of the Samaritans. Oh, these places give me the creeps.
Well, why are we here?
And why do you feel you want to kill yourself, Sonia?
I just feel so desperate.
I know that voice.
You see, there was this man.
That's Miss Frobisher.
Miss Frobisher?
My PA. Efficient, but not very nice breasts.
What about this man, Sonia?
He was my boss. He was vain, selfish, arrogant, and...
And?
And I worshipped him. I don't know why. I just couldn't help myself. I loved him. I'd do anything for him.
Mm.
And I did. I did do something for him.
What did you do for him?
Well, one night, as I was leaving work, he smiled at me and invited me into his office.
Mm.
Told me how much he admired me. Well, I was walking on air.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked me to sign these documents. He wouldn't let me read them. Said I wasn't to bother my pretty little head with it. They were just something about the company pension fund.
And where's this man now?
He's at peace. I'm being prosecuted for fraud. They're talking about 2 years in jail. My father's not very well. The trial would finish him off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to spare everyone the pain, and I'm going to kill myself. It'll be easy. I've got the sleeping tablets. I'm nothing but trouble.
Are you all right, Thomas? You've turned a pleasing alabaster.
She won't kill herself, will she? I mean, this is just one of those cries for help, right?
The events will take their course. It's all been set in motion. You sort of that.
But I never thought she'd do this, did I?
No. You never thought about her at all.
All right, you've made your point. Can we stop all this now?
Afraid not, Prof. This inventory's only just beginning. Because Thomas here led a full and active life, didn't you, Thomas?
Well, I never thought I'd be pleased to see this place again.
Yeah, nice to be back in the warm, isn't it? Now, sorry that all took so long. Okay, let's add up the score, shall we? Now, if we factor in all the environmental disasters, bankruptcies, unwanted pregnancies, abortions that went wrong, frauds, blackmails and nervous breakdowns, I make that a grand total of 16,494 lives ruined by Thomas here. But, don't panic, because... To balance that out, we have one tear. Isn't that right, Prof, eh?
Oh, just leave me alone.
You see, Prof, tears are the cheapest currency going. They're the lira of life.
Look, it's not my fault, okay? I didn't plan for all those things to happen.
Don't worry, Thomas, because the good news is that the Prof here is going to magically transform you into someone who understands the link between actions and consequences. Isn't that right, Prof?
You are so perverse.
Hmm?
The moral vacuum you despise in Thomas, you actually admire in Nero.
That's because he doesn't try to cover it up, no. Nero doesn't try to pretend he's something he isn't. Well, apart from a god, obviously. No, he's honest about his personality and he glories in it.
Hence the statues.
Eh?
Well, over there, see? He's erected enormous statues of himself. And over there. And over there.
The bloody cheeky monkey, haven't
they? They're all a bit grandiose, aren't they?
Yeah, especially the one where he's shagging Pegasus there.
Your Majesty! Oh, thank goodness you're back. He's gone berserk. Ever since you left, he's been at it non-stop. He's pleasured himself with almost every woman in hell, and quite a few of the men. The rest of the time, he's been doing unspeakably indescribable things that even the demons think are in bad taste.
Well, you shouldn't have let him get away with all that.
You placed him in command over us, my lord.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did, didn't I? Placing a mortal in charge of mortals was perhaps a bit rash.
All right, I'll sort it.
Nero!
Did somebody call me?
Yes, Nero, I did, actually. I understand you've been abusing your authority. No problem, I do a bit of that myself. But it does seem you're guilty of a certain excess of excess.
I'm not aware of any excess.
You fed sinners into a giant blender and then you drank them.
Well, come on, a chap's got to unwind sometimes.
Yeah. clearly, Nero, the power's gone to your head.
Well, that was really hard to predict.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Prof. So, look, I'm afraid this experiment is over, Nero, and I'm dispatching you back to the wailing ranks of the tormented. That's a shame. That boy had promise.
Does this mean the post as your honoured assistant is available once more, my liege? Is it?
Stop licking my hoo, scumspawn. It's undignified.
Sorry.
Yeah. Come on. You know, we got statues to smash. Catch you later, Prof. Oh, and bye, Thomas, and good luck with the personality replacement therapy. Oh, I do like a nice, cruel laugh, scumspawn, don't you?
About the coaching... You're not going to give up on me, are you?
I don't know.
I keep thinking about poor Miss Frobisher.
Do you? Do you really?
Yes. I mean, you know, she does commit suicide. I think I know who's to blame.
And who is to blame?
She is. For being so passive, she's obviously one of those people who instinctively casts themselves in the role of victim. They're everywhere. I was always meeting them. What? Why would you look at me like that?
It's time for your next lesson, Thomas.
All right, good.
Now, we're going to look at the link between the action of an individual and the consequences of that action.
Right.
For instance... This is an action. Oh! And your bleeding nose is a consequence. Action. Consequence. Are you getting the hang of this?
Old Harry's game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Nick Revel, Felicity Montague and Philip Pope. Old Harry's game was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.